podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Dear gas prices, go take a hike. Toyota is the number one retail brand for electrified vehicles for 22 years. The Toyota hybrid lineup brings efficiency with power and savings with style. Not to mention top tech to help keep you connected. Plush premium interiors and the most advanced Toyota safety features. So, now you know who you're talking to. Toyota, the number one retail brand for electrified vehicles for 22 years. With a hybrid or electric vehicle built for every driver. Seriously, dear gas prices, do you really think you could stand in our way? Think again. Toyota hybrids. Find yours at Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Based on manufacturer estimates, CY 2000 through 2021 sales.
Smoke bombs on the pitch, like damp scrims, more like. But there we go. I think all these smoke bombs have been saved up for the goal celebration. We haven't had one, so they're all just going on the pitch now. The boos are for the stewards there taking the smoke bombs off. But yeah, not the result we wanted. Frank Lampard's on the pitch now. Still cracking turnouts, cracking support. Not the best performance, but I think as soon as Watford were relegated, they were never losing the next game. It's never going to happen. Hospitable here. They play Zed cars on the way in and they're playing all together now on the way out. I'll leave it there and I'll hand you over to Matt for post match.
Still sounded very buoyant and upbeat despite an extremely drab game where not a whole lot happened. Everton played like a side that looked like they were terrified to lose that, and rightly so. Things are getting probably a bit tense for everyone at this point in the season, and after the highs of Sunday and going to Leicester and winning, tonight was a much more low-key affair. Joining me to have a chat about it, Matt Flusk and Mark Mosey. Matt, general thoughts on that, mate? It's a point, it's 4 points from two away games, and matches are running out, so we're going to put a positive spin on it.
That's the top and bottom of it. I can't be anything but positive. That was a big, fat banana skin. How many times over the years have we seen an already relegated side, depleted side, go and get a win against someone like Tottenham, you know, someone against Leicester when they were challenging for the top end. Like, it always happens every season. Someone will slip up between now and the end of the year against the likes of Norwich, against the likes of Watford, and hopefully not the likes of Leeds or Burnley. But it always happens every year, and I'm just glad we avoided it. And it's a clean sheet, and it, like you said, 4 points from two away games. I can't be anything but happy. Like, we're getting a point on both Burnley and Villa, Burnley and Leeds. I'm speaking hoping there, like, you know, Villa next season, fingers crossed.
It's I suppose, you know, we can't sit here, Murray's maybe be too greedy about 4 points from two away after losing, I think, a 10 in a row before the last couple of games. But just in general, your thoughts on that tonight? And did it look like a side that didn't really know what to do? You know, on Sunday we got go ahead twice pretty early on, with pretty 2-1 up on 25 minutes, and we've got that goal to cling on to and defend and protect. But it just looked like throughout the entire game, in terms of the system, the substitutions, the way the players approached it and the positions they took up, it looked like they didn't really know whether to go for it or sit in and take the point.
Yeah, I think firstly, just to echo what Matt said, if you can't err on the side of, you know, that residing silver lining that we're all kind of clinging to at the moment, and, you know, Everton in general as a football club are clinging to, then you haven't really bought into what everyone has been doing in the last few weeks, you know, from top to bottom in terms of keeping this football team in the league. We've all been trying to take the positives, and, you know, I guarantee if you offer any of us a win and a draw totally unanswered by Leeds United this time last week, we all absolutely bite your hand off. And that is the reality and the harshness of the Premier League table at the moment. And as you said, this is, you know, I know we all had a great day on Sunday. It was a fantastic result. It propelled us to the point of, dare I say, optimism. But that does not give us this sudden right to think that we are not the football team that is 17th or 18th place or whatever we are in the Premier League table.
16th, mate, come on.
Oh, all right. all the lofty heights of mid, bottom half of the table. But you see my point in that we are not suddenly one of those teams who, when you afford all of the incentive to go and win a football match, regardless of the level of the opposition, it's quite frankly not there at the moment. I mean, we've spoken for years and years about how difficult it is for a team like Everton to kind of flux between these motions of grinding out results at home against Chelsea, United, whoever it may be, and then being that team who, you know, either invites teams to Goodison Park or goes away in the Premier League and everything is out in front of them, and the football world says to them, well, what have you got? And unfortunately, we haven't really got that much at the moment in terms of ball playing quality, that ability to go out and just smother teams and win football matches on cue. It is simply not there. And, you know, there are definitely times in that match tonight where you can notably see a football team that is terrified of losing the match. And, you know, maybe we look back at it and think, well, rightly so, because a loss tonight is an absolute disaster after going to Leicester at the weekend. And I'm not saying that a draw is by any means an acceptable result, because, you know, I have that level of hollowness that everyone listening to this will have, in that the eternal what might have been about Everton Football Club hangs over us. But this is very much in our hands. We are still firmly, having 2 weeks ago being the team that were odds on to go down, we've all done this. We've got this football team to the brink of survival, and I don't think tonight has damaged that by any means.
Yeah, and if you flip the results around, if we were to go to Leicester and draw 0-0 and then go there tonight and win 2-1 just as Burnley did, we'd all be there going, this is it, we've done it, we're fine. Like, we're not safe, but we are on the way to being safe. It feels a bit of a damn squib after Sunday, granted, but to be honest, tonight, I mean, I think a lot of people would have said after Sunday night, this game was a free hit. So it's about consolidation, about just taking what we got, you know, a good point, a clean sheet, and now we got Sunday and we can do what we've done for the past few weeks, you know, scream bloody thunder, drag them across the line. Like you say, nothing is guaranteed. We don't take anything for granted. We deserve nothing from this season, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
But I still think come Sunday, we're going to do it. We're going to drag them across the line, basically. We're going to just scream them. Scream them. And hopefully, obviously, Leeds play before us, so it could be a matter of win the game, stay in the league. So if that is the case, if, you know, if we, because I think it coincides, doesn't it? They kick off at 2?
Yeah, their game yeah. finishes just before.
So we'll all be on Goodison Road when they're playing.
Yeah.
If Leeds are down 2-3 goals when we go into Goodison Park, obviously the atmosphere will just be electric. We'll be screaming them over yeah. the line. And it'll just be a matter of, it's one game to save our future.
Yeah.
Not even save our season. You've said it for weeks, Matt. It's saving our future. It's completely generational.
Yeah.
And I think we'll step up. The fans will step up. The players will step up. The manager will step up. The club will step up. And we're going to get over that line.
I think if you're going to look at the last third of the season from a big picture point of view, if you offered most of us the chance to go into a home match against Brentford with the card of if you win this game, you survive. I mean, we'd have all absolutely taken that. And I don't think it's that cutthroat on Sunday. And as you said, Matt, it totally depends on what happens at Elland Road. But I think it's quite funny that we've gone from a point a few weeks ago of being so centrally focused on what every other team around Everton were doing that we totally forgot about how bad Everton were, because that was our escapism. Can we channel how bad Burnley are? Can we buy into every single point that Leeds lost? And now that we've got something a little bit more positive to buy into from an Everton point of view, I think it's very easy to forget what the other teams around us are doing very poorly. And, you know, you can look at Burnley at the weekend, you can look at Leeds for the last few weekends in terms of, as much as we look at a team who haven't quite reached their maximum potential, haven't quite taken everything they possibly could have done from the last 2 or 3 games, you only have to look at the television screens around us to look at a team in Leeds United who are consistently failing to make up any form of ground. And all of those feelings that Evertonians have had from not even a few weeks ago, but from September or October, there's a team in Yorkshire who are having all of that bad press, those bad feelings and those bad performances, and luckily the bad results to go with it, at exactly the worst time of the season. And, you know, I am incredibly biased. I don't know if you realise in this situation, but if I was to be one of these football teams at the moment, I would absolutely not want to be Leeds United.
Yeah, because we thought we had chosen the worst time of the season, but they've managed to one-up us.
Yeah.
I think the other thing as well, and it'd be remiss not to say this, but one of the things we were all saying on those podcasts when we were losing away game after away game after away game was just draw a game every now and then. Yeah. You know, if Everton had drawn like 3 of those 10 away games they lost in a row or whatever it was, they'd be well clear of this now. And sometimes it's a case of, if you're having a terrible night, if you're not playing well, as can always happen away from home, just don't get beat, lads. Just come away from with a point. Obviously, it's easy to look at them in a bigger picture sense when you're midway through the season and you're not like absolutely desperate for 3 points now, but you know, if Everton had drawn more away games, we'd be absolutely fine.
Because that's like our second draw since Chelsea and before Christmas, isn't it? It's crazy that
we've totally earned the right to have that performance as well and have that result, haven't we? And that, you know, I'm not saying that you can totally drop your guard against Watford just because you've pulled off some unbelievable feats at Goodison Park or away at Leicester City, but It does afford you that ability to say, well, let's be a little bit more sensible about how we approach, not that the entire game tonight, but maybe the last 15 minutes where we're all shaking in our seats asking for, you know, first of all Calvert-Lewin, but then Rondon and Ali, and let's go 5 up front and just throw the entire kitchen sink at this already relegated team. And, you know, on paper, as much as it may seem that's the correct thing to do, you know, maybe Frank Lampard and Everton have earned that right tonight to say, well, you know, this is the pragmatic and the correct thing to do in the situation. And as we say, at this time of the season, we are not only counting down points, but we're counting down days and games left. And as those consistently continue to run out, it only goes in Everton's favour.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, I think what happens today is ultimately coloured by what happened on Sunday, isn't it? You know, the Everton draw that game and they go for it a bit more in the last 20 minutes there. I don't think there's any way that they don't throw the kitchen sink at it, but they were quite content. And listen, in terms of the game, this is probably going to be one of our shortest podcasts, but in terms of the game itself, not really much happened. Everton had a bit of a go in the second half, could have had a few chances. But one lad they do want to single out, and he's been absolutely fantastic for weeks now. Playing right wing back again tonight, Matt, in Alex Iwobi. Everton's best player by a country mile, I think, tonight. Carried the team forward defensively, absolutely spot on. Great feet, great composure. the lad is playing like a dream at the moment, isn't he?
Outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Like, there were moments when he was recovering from, like, breaks down their left-hand side, our right-hand side, and you just thought, just get the ball, put it out for the throw-in or whatever, and he'd take it and he'd play it off 2 feet and then start another counter-attack. I can't understand what he's doing at the moment. He's just, he's on another level. And I don't mean ability-wise, I just mean confidence-wise. It's for a player in, let's face it, a pretty still, dicey situation to be playing like that after the start of the season he had, and, you know, having to deactivate his social media and everything because everyone was getting on his back. It's an incredible turnaround. And I don't know if it's just the man himself. I don't know if it's Frank Lampard, the way he's managing. I don't know if he's got Dr. Steve Peters on Steve speed dial. I don't know, but I don't care. I'm just made up for him. And, yeah, it will be one Kenobi forever.
I'm not sure I totally agree with the, you know, he's probably one of the Everton players, I would say, that most of our fans in particular label as a confidence player, as though every single footballer in the world is not that exact thing. I mean, obviously tonight, and in particular the one moment I'm thinking of in the second half where he kind of uses some quick feet to get away from Watford's left winger, there's a notable level of freedom about his game at the moment. But I think the thing I like about him is that just general aggression in his play. I mean, we saw it tonight, in particular in the fullbacks, and I think I'd single Seamus Coleman out for this, in being particularly aggressive in winning the ball back. From that point of view, I kind of got it with the, you know, you call it a five at the back or a three at the back with two wing backs or a five in midfield, whatever it was. There was a sense about that for me tonight whereby Iwobi and Mikalenko in particular, without actually getting on the ball in the first half, were given the license to go forward and get into the 18-yard box. And, you know, that's not something I'm going to point the finger at Frank Lampard tonight and say, you know, it's on the manager and we've not gone as gung-ho and as aggressive and as offensive as we should have done, because that's not always the answer. But certainly from an individual point of view, you know, we spoke about it a couple of games ago whereby there's a notable level of trust towards this lad now. You know, go and do a job in the middle of midfield for me, go and do it at right wing back, unsuspectedly against Chelsea, to the point where he's done that well that we've continued it on the road, where we've been, you know, incredibly awful for a long time now. It's the turnaround that I think absolutely none of us saw coming. If anything, there was probably that little bit of you in the last 20 minutes that thought, well, maybe this hasn't quite worked to its full potential in terms of, you know, getting the 3 points. Do we move him forward? Do we move him into midfield? And I think it's a credit to him tonight that, you know, we acknowledge the fact that he's had a great game, but you're always left wanting that little bit more because of what you've seen from him in the last two or three games. He's arguably one of the first names on the team sheet going into the game against Brentford at the weekend. And to say that, and to say that he's one of, I think I speak for most of us when you say he's one of Everton's most likeable players at the moment. For him and Fabian Delph to be near the top of that list is just, quite frankly, insane.
Let's get back to basics.
He's the personification of what has been a both miserable and unbelievable Everton football season. Just, you know,
just collect that.
You know, just fantastically happy for a lad who was, you know, from everything that we've heard from inside the club and everything we've seen from other players and the way that they interact with him, even his Snapchat stories of the bus leaving Finch Farm, you know, everything is set up for this lad to succeed. And I think tonight was just another step in that process for him.
Do you know what's always jarring about him? Like, we're so used to Everton players trying to do the basic thing on the ball, that many years, but he gets it. And like you said, Matt, he does that little thing where, like, he'll go one foot to the next foot and wriggle out of space and, you know, go forward. And he's trying to do all those things, but we'll wrap it up, lads. But feeling okay still, Matt, about things going into...
I'm feeling fantastic.
So I think the thing for me now is that if you get 4 points from those next two home games, whatever happens with Leeds, whatever happens with Burnley, because of Leeds' goal difference, we're going to be absolutely fine. And listen, if someone had said to me that was the situation after we all sat together and watched that game against Burnley where we got beat 3-2, I would have been absolutely made up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I just feel zen right now. Totally zen.
I mean, I'm not going to that level of chill, but I mean, the great contentment I feel at the moment is that I don't think that Leeds have got it in them to win one of those football matches that they've got left, never mind both of them.
Sean Dyche.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Remember Sean Dyche.
Mark Moses is going to get sacked in the blue room next week.
Yeah. If it wasn't being won up by Keith getting a tattoo of Alex Iwobi on himself, then I'd take the crown of wooden spoon of the blue room. But no, I just don't look at that side and think, you know, as much as I like to focus on Everton and how positive we've been at Goodison Park and how happy I am in the knowledge that I think we'll go and beat Brentford at the weekend, I honestly don't think that Leeds have got it in them to beat Brighton. And that's where going into the weekend, and obviously we'll know this by kickoff on Sunday, but if Leeds are not to win against Brighton and we are to go into Brentford knowing that a win will take us over the line, then everything Matt said about the positivity that we've taken into Goodison Park games in recent times and hopefully we'll take into next season as well. I don't think any of us want this to be a drop in the water, but you know, dangle that carrot of beating an already safe Brentford at Goodison Park to stay in the league. No greater motivation is needed for a football team that's absolutely desperate to survive.
Just to say, I'd like to revise my answer. I'm not saying right now. My mood can only be described by one word: cheddared.
There we go. We'll leave it there. We will leave it there. Cheers to Les for that clip from the away end. Still sounded great. Second half, the entire end sounded unbelievable on the telly. So fair play to you if you're travelling back from that game tonight or you're listening to it the morning after. Unbelievable efforts again. We will be around on Sunday. Everyone will be around on Sunday outside the ground, giving those lads an amazing welcome to Goodison Park. Hopefully after a lead slip up, and hopefully in the knowledge that Everton, if they win that football match against Brentford, they'll be staying in the Premier League next season. My word, it's horrible, it's grim, but we'll get there. We will get there. Cheers to Mark Mosey and Matt Flosk as well. That has been your post-match reaction for Watford 0, Everton 0. We'll speak to you again very, very soon here on the Blue Room.
Up those toppings.
We nearly didn't get a cheese
pun
in.
Oh, God, I know.
Progressive presents Married to Your Home.
If you want to leave me for another house, I totally understand.
House? Where's this coming from?
It's just, I know there's some newer homes on the market.
I didn't even know that, because I'm not looking.
I bet those other houses don't have a crack in their foundations.
You know that crack doesn't bother me.
No matter how much you already love your house, you'll love it more knowing you could save big bundling your home and auto with Progressive. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Sports Social Podcast Network.